pro-choice liberal feminazi slut Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Happy New Year. It's my first podcast of 2017. And my guest a little later will be my mother, Ann Werner. And so I'm not going to spend too much time right now before I get into the conversation with her. But I do want to bring up a couple of different things. Just at the end of the year last year, and we did talk about this in our conversation, so just be warned. Some of you may have noticed that it was extremely upsetting to me to watch the infighting in whether it's the Democratic Party or between liberals and progressives. I still see it. I still see the blame game going on, but I'm doing my best to rise above because I don't want to spend too much time talking with or dealing with the idea that it's one or the other's fault. We have a situation right now that we have to focus on, and that situation is improving the Democratic Party and winning. That's what we need to focus on. And as I'm going to say more than once, you know, 62 million voted for Donald, 65 million voted for Hillary, and 120 million people didn't vote at all. So I believe that it's imperative that the Democratic Party reaches out to those people who are not engaged. I'm trying to come up with my own ideas on how to spread the information about what's important in midterm elections, why the ACA is important, Affordable Health Care Act. There's all kinds of things that I would like to do, but I know that my audience is the choir, so I'm preaching to the choir. And when I preach to you guys, I'm hoping that you'll go to your family members and your friends and maybe start conversations that don't have to be combative. Just, you know, asking questions, seeing what people think. What do you think of Donald Trump? What would you like to see happen? And then push that conversation into the importance of voting. It's very, very, very crucial that people in this country wake up and recognize that there is an election every single year and that we all have to participate and be aware of what's going on, because these people are our public servants. They are not our bosses. And unfortunately, right now, because too many of us haven't been paying attention, we have a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and we've got this lunatic in the White House. So we got to wake up. And I think that I'll be making some more videos. For those who are aware, I've posted two videos so far. I don't really like doing it. I used to be an actress, and so some people might think that I enjoy being in front of the camera. I never have enjoyed being in front of the camera, but I think that it's important because it's a new way to communicate, at least for me. Usually I do it in my writing. So I won't be making them all the time, but on occasion I will, and I'm going to do my best to be providing some kind of either action alert or something that you can do in the resistance against Donald Trump and the resistance against what the Republican Party is going to attempt to do and probably be successful. So there's that. And let's see what else. I'm an independent author, and this podcast is me alone. So you could support me, and you can support other independent authors and podcasters out there by supporting them. And the way that you can support me on this show is you can become a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. You can just donate $1 a month. And for that, you will get my undying gratitude. And if you pledge $5 a month, you'll get access to the bonus show, which is called End Another Thing. And that's where my guest and I will, if I have a guest, will continue our conversation, or I'll take questions from people on Facebook, which, by the way, people are not asking as many questions or posting topics they'd like to see discussed. So I'm going to keep pushing you guys to do that because I like when you do that. It's fun. And today, the segment And Another Thing is my mother and I talking about sex. So it's kind of interesting and juicy, and we include some things that happened when I was a little girl, when I asked her about sex, and our book, The Virgin Diaries, and how we came together to collaborate on that. So anyway, if you pledge $10 a month, you'll get access to a free bonus third show. And that show is kind of like anything goes. Whether I have somebody that I'm going to interview or just rant about something, that's one way you can support independent podcasters, is just supporting to their, you know, supporting their show, donating a certain dollar amount a month. And it doesn't have to be $1. It could be two, or it could be three. It could be anything that you want to do and anything that you can afford. So there's that. Now I'm going to get into the conversation I had with my mom. We talk about Donald Trump, of course, and the golden showers, or Golden Gate, as they're calling it now. And we talk about all kinds of other things, about what you can do to get involved, and just a bunch of fun stuff. And as I said, at the bonus segment, we talk about sex. So without any further ado, please welcome my mother, Anne Werner. She's the author of Crazy, Dreams and Nightmares, The People Next Door, Cooper's and Cooper's Grow. She's also a contributor for Huffington Post and Liberals Unite. Okay, welcome, Mom.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Like, we didn't say that in private.
I never say Happy New Year.
It's the public Happy New Year.
There you go.
Oh, and it is time, isn't it?
It's way past time.
Well, first of all, everybody who follows Anne on Facebook knows that she's moving across country. So, how's that going?
What a delightful experience. Not worst experience of my life, but I'm in the home stretch.
Well, and as Dad likes to point out over and over and over again, that the hard part is over. You were fortunately able to find sell your place and then find something. You were really quick, too. You found a great house in a week.
I know. That's a first for me. It usually takes months.
So, you know, for all the stuff you're going through right now, just keep in mind that it's much better than trying to find a home. You know, having, you know, you did that when you bought your home in Northern California. It took you 6 months to find it, and that was a drag. So yeah. This was much better.
Much better.
Yeah, and it's also time to resist. Time to resist Trump. And we've got a lot to talk about regarding the new revelations, the document coming out that's damning, and he's freaking out about it, and he's fucking with the intel community, and that's not good. So
nothing about Trump is good.
No. It's pretty scary. So I'm just going to start with, you know, I had posted yesterday, the report claims that he hired prostitutes in Russia to pee on the bed that Obama and Michelle had slept on. And, you know, I mean, they're saying that it's not verifiable. So, I hate posting things that aren't verifiable, but I'm going to go with the idea that, you know, the intelligence agency, I guess it's like a British, there's a British, the British agency and the United States, you know, I don't know, they're not spies, but their intelligence are claiming it's true.
Yeah, they actually are spies.
Yeah,
yes.
I guess they are. They're claiming it's true. So I don't know if it's true. It's allegedly.
Quite frankly. Given what we have seen of Mr. Trump,
it's probably true.
I think that it's most likely true because he has the intellect. Actually, I won't insult 3-year-olds. I have met 3-year-olds who are much more together than that person, who can concentrate better than that individual, who is 9 days away from having his finger on the button.
Yeah, and days away from firing everybody in the intelligence community.
Because he's taken names. He's taken, not just in the intelligence community, he's taken names at people at the EPA who have been working for climate change. And instead of firing him, what they'll do is eliminate those jobs by lowering the pay rate to $1 a year.
It's just crazy. Well, I kind of want to go back to the golden showers thing. One of the things I pointed out on my page, you know, I see a lot of people commenting and saying, oh, it's no big deal, or what two consensual people did, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. The consensual act of urinating on each other is not the point. And I don't think anybody should be shamed for it, because if you want to do that, great, do it. I don't care. The point is, the Russians have material compromising material on the soon-to-be president, which are that's going to affect all of us because they can blackmail him and other members of Congress. It doesn't even matter if it's true. But I mean, you know, and somebody asked the question of, well, how can they blackmail him now? Well, if it is true, they can release the video, and that would be incredibly embarrassing for him. And we all know Trump does not like being embarrassed. He can't handle it.
He'll just deny it. He'll say that's not him.
Yeah,
That's what he does.
Well, and his followers and his supporters will believe him. And again, they're not the people that we need to worry about, because he already stated in the campaign that he could have shot somebody on Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't have mattered. And he was absolutely right.
Yep.
What matters is the rest of the country. You know, 63 million or 62 million people voted for him. 65 million voted for Hillary. 120 million people did not vote. And
that is absolutely shameful.
Yeah. And a lot of those people are starting to wake up now. And those are the people that need to be horrified by this so that they get their asses to the polls in 2017 and 2018. I mean,
absolutely.
there's only so much that we can do as citizens at this point, other than the resistance, which I'm going to talk to you and ask you about in a minute. But the most important thing we can do is be engaged, join the resistance. To whether it's contacting your local representatives, the federal representatives, or participating in some kind of march or protest, and then really getting involved in politics yourself. As Obama said last night, go get a bunch of signatures and run for office. You're not always going to win everything, but people do win when they make the effort. So we have to make the effort.
Absolutely. And I think, a lot of people think when they hear running for office, they think in terms of running for federal offices.
Mm-hmm.
But, you need people on your school boards. You need people on your city councils and your town councils. There are a lot of lower end but extremely important local offices that people should run for to gain the experience they need if what they really want to do is make public service a career.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you look at how Obama started. Mm-hmm. He started as a community organizer, that much derided thing from the 2008 election,
right,
when they acted like being a community organizer was some kind of a commie.
Right.
Hello. And now all of a sudden Putin is a better leader than Obama and Trumpy's best friend.
Speaking of Obama, I will go back to the resistance in a second. But Obama's speech last night, wow, that was amazing.
It was amazing. And it was, but it's nothing less than I would have expected,
right,
because the man has always had class, always.
Yeah, and something that struck me, there's a certain person, I'm not going to name this person, but this person was a Bernie supporter who eventually turned to Hillary, reluctantly, but did it because, I will say it's a she. She understood the importance of this election. And she posted something last night about her disappointment in Obama. And, anybody who's going to be president of the United States has to make decisions that are based on information that we don't know. So what seems like, it's really easy to backseat drive the presidency and say, oh, he should do this. And I'm not saying that presidents shouldn't be criticized. I absolutely think they should. But I think that I see a lot of people acting as if Obama was this huge failure or letdown to them. And that just tells me that they don't understand what it is to be president of the United States, and that he's not just president of progressives. He's president for everybody.
Exactly. And you can't be all things to all people.
And he's going to go down in the history books as one of our greatest presidents ever. And, this person is going to find out very soon what a real disappointing president is.
Disappointing is a gross understatement.
Yeah.
It's quite frightening what we are facing. And the only way that we are going to get through this really, truly is if we resist. In order to do that, we really do have to come together. And liberals who are famous for arguing, and there's nothing wrong with having a discussion, just like Obama said last night in his speech, to have a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start name calling people, mm-hmm, who are on your side because they don't agree with every tiny little thing that you think, then that is a very defeatist attitude, and it is a recipe for getting nothing done.
And it's also the condescending attitudes that, I swear to God, I mean, I'm sarcastic, and I totally recognize how a knee-jerk reaction can cause a condescending remark. But again, when we're losing and we're all on the same side, essentially, when we condescend to each other, it helps keep us divided, which, you know, I'm not completely convinced that whether it was the Russians or the GOP, I would bet money that a lot of these Bernie bros were plants. And
I think so,
you know,
too.
I mean, if you look at it, I'm not saying that all of them were.
But I think some of them were, because it was an opportunity.
They were white males who were sexist.
Exactly.
I mean, give me a fucking break.
I know.
And I do think that there are liberal men out there, white liberal men, who are sexist and may not even realize it. And so these plants just you know, fueled their fire.
It was an opportunity to sow discord.
Yeah, exactly. And I
think
it worked.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. And so we have to, you know, when you go down your Facebook feed sometime, or especially on Facebook, I think, but I find it true on Twitter as well, you get people that will kind of butt into conversations, and they're not your friend. But somehow,
right,
you know, and they have something really nasty to say. The fact is, all right, with something like Facebook and Twitter, you really honestly don't know who you are talking to unless you actually know these people from some other facet of your life.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a few people like...
Ahead. I mean, and there are people that sometimes that you meet, all right, from Facebook, but...
You've had friends
you
for
have
years
hundreds,
and
some
you
people,
know
yeah.
how they are over the course of several
exactly.
years.
Exactly. But there are other people who have maybe been your friend on Facebook for quite some time, but you really have no idea. You don't really know if it's a real human being,
mm-hmm.
because anybody can find pictures of families.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with the least bit of savvy can go on Facebook and create a profile, and it can be an
older
profile.
Yeah, it's just totally manufactured.
Exactly, they can manufacture it. So you have to really kind of be careful. And a lot of people aren't careful. They accept things at face value. And I mean, I'll admit, I have swallowed some fake stories myself, all right? But when I found out that they were not true, I went back and said, hey, you know what? This wasn't true. I'm sorry. I was mistaken. As a writer for Liberals Unite, I've made a couple of mistakes. Anytime that I've made a mistake and I was inaccurate, I go and I amend that article, and I don't put it at the bottom. I put mm-hmm. it at the top of the article, so anybody clicking on it, because it's there now, will see at first my apology. And too many people don't do that. Too many people go, oh, well, that was then, this is now.
Or yeah, they put it at the end of the article, and exactly. there was some kind of study that came out that shows that, you know, the people you generally read like the first paragraph or the first two paragraphs, and then they move on. They get the gist of the story. So if you shove it at the end of an article, it's likely it's never going to be seen.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that you always said that to me when I was a little girl, and especially when I entered the job market, you said, if you make a mistake, own it, because you'll gain more trust and, you know, more respect from whether it's your employer or, you know, at the time I started, my very first job was a Hallmark store. So it was like customers. If you make a mistake, own it.
Yeah.
And it's true. And I learned that because
people respect you when you own up to the fact that you've made a mistake, because everybody makes mistakes. The real mistake is letting it go, trying to blame somebody else or blame circumstances.
Which is what the Republicans do.
Exactly. They do it constantly, all the time. Either that or they just deny that it ever happened.
So then I was watching. Okay, so, you know, I posted the CNN article yesterday regarding the report that came out. And, you know, there was a couple of different people that they spoke to, names I can't remember at the moment. But the overall gist of this was that there was all this information, and it had been diluted down to these two pages, which this included the golden shower thing. So, you know, but there's so many more important things in that report than the golden shower aspect. That's just the sensationalistic aspect of this report, which I wish more people were concerned about, some of the other points. And, you know, and there was okay, like for instance, there was a Vox article that came out and it was called Beyond Wild Allegations, What's Clearly True About Trump and Russia is Disturbing. So he, the person who wrote this, whose name I did not collect, so I'm sorry, talked about Trump's strange ideas about Russia date back to at least 1987, when Trump called for U.S.-Soviet alliance against France and Pakistan. During the 2016 campaign, Trump publicly called into question America's commitment to defending NATO's allies from Russian attack. Trump praised Russia's intervention in the work on the Syrian civil war. He also pointedly declined to criticize Putin. There's all these different things listed in this Vox article that we know for sure. And what's really scary to me is the idea, and it's totally frightening, that the Russians have, you know, we know they have the information on the DNC. They already leaked stuff. Whether some of that's true or not, we don't know for sure. But we know that it was leaked and it had an effect. And they also leaked the they also hacked the DNC, and they got information that they have kept back.
Oh,
and
the RNC.
The RNC.
Yeah.
So that can be used for blackmail, and that is really scary. And we also, aside from that, there was an article in the Daily Coast called Donald Trump was bailed out of bankruptcy by Russian crime bosses. And
let us not forget that he was standing next to, on New Year's Eve, a friend of the Gotti family, an American yeah. crime family. So we know the kind of man Trump is.
He's not showing us his taxes. So there's all, you know, I mean, the P thing is funny, haha, but that's not the point. The point is there's all kinds of information that, you know, set him up for treason. What do you think about?
Okay, one of the things I'd like to hark back when you were talking about, he praised Russia's intervention into Syria.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing that has recently happened in Aleppo with the Russian bombers, they did not go after military targets. They were bombing neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. They were bombing children. And he thinks that is praiseworthy. They were bombing hospitals. They were bombing men and women who were just terrified for their lives to begin with. They were not terrorists. They were just families.
Yeah.
And he finds that a praiseworthy thing. The man, in my estimation, is a monster.
And what I think is...
I think he is the modern version of the Manchurian candidate.
Yes. And I think that he is under the impression that he's our boss.
Oh, yes, he does. That's what he thinks.
This is like... He wants to run the country like it's a company. And
with
like,
all of his children in positions of authority.
And so he doesn't really realize that he is a public servant. He thinks he's our boss. And he's so sadly mistaken. But what is also frightening is the fact that I think that we're all kind of stunned, and it's so difficult right now. I mean, like, unless something is absolutely provable, we can't bring up treason, bring him up on treason charges. I don't know what it's going to take to get him impeached. I don't know what, you know, something has to be proven. That he's you know, done something provable that's so awful that could get him, you know, like obviously Bill Clinton lied and that was clear. But, you know, I don't know how long it's going to, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think he's going to last 4 years?
I don't know. I sincerely hope not. But then again, we are still stuck with a Republican Party
that has not
called out this man. The first thing that this new Republican Congress tried to do was get rid of the Ethics Committee. That speaks volumes. I mean, even Republicans, you know, just regular citizen Republicans went, no, back up. And that's what they had to back away from that. But that's what they wanted to do. When you have an entire party that has devolved into what the Republicans used to be able to sit down at the table. They used to be able to compromise. And as much as I disagree with people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, I don't question their patriotism. I don't question their love of country. I disagree with their politics, but at least those two men are standing up. I have not heard other Republican voices standing up and speaking out against what is obviously a complete and utter disregard for our democratic process. And for them to claim that they have a mandate because they say that he won in a landslide. Okay, maybe it was an electoral landslide, but it was just a bunch of red states that nobody freaking lives in, in especially at the top of the country. I mean, good God almighty, well, and there are also cities that have bigger populations than these entire states. And yet, you know, they are what put Donald Trump in office when Hillary Clinton got almost 3 million more votes from the people of this country. So it's telling me that the Republican Party cares not a whit for what the majority of the people of this country, and everybody screams about, those coastal people and the people in the middle of the country are forgotten. Well, first of all, most of the people in this country live on the coasts. Mm-hmm. That's why there's more votes there. And I'd like to know how the people in the middle of the country have been forgotten.
Yes, the farmers who benefit from...
They don't want clean air. They don't want clean water. They don't want those farm subsidies. They don't want Medicare. They don't want Social Security. I'd like to know how they are suffering as a result of Democrats.
Well, unfortunately, they would give you a Rush Limbaugh answer on that and stop there.
It would make no sense, much like Donald Trump.
Well, as I keep saying, and I'm going to continue saying, 62 million voted for him, 65 million voted for her, but 120 million people didn't vote. So those are the people that I think the Democrats need to focus on, because we may lose a little bit. You know, I do think at the start of the year, or I should say at the end of the year, the start of the year, whatever, I was getting very upset when I would go on Facebook and I would still see the arguments between or within the infighting within the liberal community. And it still pisses me off, but I'm doing my very, very best to ignore it. And I think that, there's I do believe we've got to have some kind of change in the way that we message and that we choose strong leaders who are not afraid to stand up to either promote the good ideas of the Democratic Party or to denounce all of the horrendous things happening in the Republican Party. I would like to see more of that from us. And I would like to see some old experience voices along with the new voices and I'm trying now to get away from that. And I think the way we do that, getting away from focusing on the infighting is trying to, find new voters, the people who are either young or can't be bothered or they think voting isn't important. I know that I'm going to start in February. I'm going to start a campaign, at least just like a meme campaign, that will just give little civics lessons and explain why it's so important for people to vote. And, when I see these people arguing, oh, my vote doesn't count, that's when I like to pull out the all of the information about vote, candidates who won by one vote or 100 votes or some low amount, because it really does make a difference. And when people see that, they might feel a little bit more empowered. But I think those 120 million have to be focused on by the Democratic Party.
I agree. I think the big mistake that the Democratic Party made was that they did not really speak to the people. Mm-hmm. That's why Bernie Sanders made such a huge, huge, huge impression and almost won the Democratic nomination. He was a stone's throw from it, and he came from nowhere. And he attracted tens of thousands of people because he spoke to what people cared about. Mm-hmm. He spoke to their concerns. He spoke to them. He did not, like Mrs. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, who I voted for.
Well, I wouldn't even go so far as to say he didn't like her. But he did give her praise for what she deserved, but he criticized her on what he felt that was worthy of
criticism. But the thing is, she did not. She was viewed as an elite by people because she did not really go out and address those kitchen table issues.
Well,
she did it during the debate. debates, but she was unable.
I would like to say
to
something though. I spoke to somebody
voters.
Who worked on her campaign, and I'm not going to get into too many details, but evidently, Bill Clinton wanted to go out and talk to the Rust Belt. Her handlers and the people running her campaign did not let him do it, whether it was her or him. So I think that I don't want to just put all the blame on Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I'm not putting all the blame on Hillary Clinton. Of course it was her handlers. This was the Democratic Party.
Right.
All right. This was the Democratic Party that stepped all over the debate schedule, that they just were not listening to the people of this country. And that is the reason that they lost this election.
One of them.
You know, I mean, because they could have won Michigan. They could have won Wisconsin. They could have.
Well,
Obama
won
those states.
Yeah.
But they didn't because of serious missteps that they made. And, you know, and I'm not saying Hillary Clinton made those missteps, but I'm saying as a whole,
right.
That's what they did. And that's where they went wrong. That's where they have been going wrong.
And
that is why
that
the majority of states in this country have Republican governors and Republican legislatures. And it is incredible to me that you can have a place like Kansas where you have Governor Sam Brownback getting reelected after he's destroyed the state.
I know.
It
makes no sense.
It makes no sense. But that's because these people have had no one to come in from the Democratic Party to really sit down and talk with them.
And it's been a while, because the thing is I've mentioned this on past podcasts. There is a documentary called Housequake about how Rahm Emanuel was able to successfully win. I think it was like over 30 people in the House of Representatives when they only needed 15. And this is somewhat controversial to the people who are on the far left who want progressive everything, which, hey, I am like very progressive.
So but I realize it's not going to fly in Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, we need to have somebody who represents the people of their state. But if they're going to represent them, they're going to promise to caucus with the Democrats. That's what's important, that we win. And, you know, that and that people understand that it's not just about, I mean, because, yeah, the people who live in New York, the people who live in California, Oregon, they want to see the most progressive agenda set forth. But this is not, this country is made up of progressives, independents, and conservatives. So in order to win elections, we have to find that middle, that sweet spot that we can all live with. Because we're not all going to get our way. That's just the way it goes.
No.
And,
but
if the people on the far left would realize this and stop imposing purity tests on the Democratic Party, it's not to say that we don't need a rehaul, because I'm glad Wasserman Schultz is gone. I hope that we can get somebody in who is as strong. I'm not a big fan of Ron Emanuel. But I do appreciate the effort and the fact that they won in 2006. And that's what I want to see happen in 2018.
Well, the same thing with Howard Dean was a great organizer for the DNC.
And he was part of that.
Yeah,
he was also involved.
He had that 50-state strategy.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly executed.
And you know what? Just to point that out, I know there's a lot of people out there who are all pissed off at him because he is a lobbyist for Big Pharma. Okay, that's legit. But his idea worked.
Yes.
So I don't think we should throw everything out because people are pissed off that he's working for Big Pharma. He still was able to execute a successful plan in winning over, you know, getting the House back to the Democrats. That's what we want. And, you know, to recognize that in these deep red states, Bernie Sanders isn't always going to fly. Elizabeth Warren isn't always going to fly. We have to get somebody who's going to represent the voters of that area. And that brings me to another point. You're going to the Women's March, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be exhausted. It's going to be the day after I sign papers on my house. I'll be living in an empty house and probably sleeping on a yoga mat
You'll be living in Maryland, hon.
That's right. They don't talk like that. That's Baltimore. They don't talk like that where I'm going.
Well, yes, they do. That accent is all up and down.
No, not like hon.
Well, you know. So there's a woman named Annabelle Park who posted something, and I really agree with her. She posted about the Women's March, and she is going, I believe, and she wanted to make sure that everybody understands that while it's important to stand up and fight in the streets, we talked about this a minute ago, that we have to also get involved in government. And again, it's also community, whether it's school boards or city councils. You know, there's only so much we're going to be able to accomplish by marching in the streets. We have to resist by getting by absolutely getting involved. So that brings me to, what are some of the things that we can do that are positive in order to resist?
Well, first of all, we have to be willing to pick up the phone and call our local, state, and federal representatives. Anytime that we see something that we think was great that they did, we should thank them. Okay? Anytime we see something that we think is out of whack, we should let them know. People have to be vocal.
And we have to be polite.
And polite. Okay? Because nobody listens when you start cursing at them. That's a sure shot for just being tuned out. So always be polite, be concise. If you have something to say, my suggestion would be, before you make that call, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't trip over your words, so you can, I mean, that's what all these actions.
Yeah, and it usually doesn't have to, it's usually like a paragraph or less, or maybe
exactly.
Even two sentences. Please support HB5 or
exactly.
Whatever.
I support HB5. Please let my, you know, representative know, because you're going to be talking to one of the, you know, mm-hmm. one of their office people. When Congress is on recess and your representatives are back in your area, I think it's a great idea to actually go to their offices mm-hmm. to see if you can actually
meet
them. Yeah,
make a day of it with your friends. Have
lunch.
Absolutely.
The thing is, people have to be heard. They have to vote. They have to be heard. And yes, people, if you really, really care and you want a life of service, really, truly think about collecting those signatures and running for office.
And then there's also the idea that you can donate to progressive organizations like Planned Parenthood.
Well, you can donate to progressive organizations like Planned Parenthood. And I would say to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which investigates hate crimes. I've been giving to those people for years. They do great work. And then also to the ACLU, we are going to need organizations like this, legal organizations, to go up against the shitstorm that is coming.
Yeah. That's one of the things that you can also donate. If you're going to donate to Planned Parenthood, you can also donate to Mike Pence, put it in his name. People ask me, I believe that. And I've talked about this before. A friend of mine, Stephanie Walton, who hosts the Lady Brain Show, came up with this idea, although news outlets did not give her the proper credit. She came up with this idea in October. We executed a plan. We got a meme made. And then somebody on Instagram picked it up. And that's who got all the credit for it. But really, the credit goes to Stephanie and then everybody who donated. Because the last time I spoke with Stephanie, she talked to somebody from Planned Parenthood and said over 60,000 donations were made in Mike Pence's name. And I believe the minimum amount is $5. So that's $300,000. That was one person had one idea.
And look what happened.
You know, we were fortunate because we utilized the platform that I've got of many different Facebook pages that I could post it on. And then I have friends who have Facebook pages and they helped me post it. So it definitely got around. But still, one person has an idea. And if it's a great idea, it's going to fly. And so little things like that are other positive things that we can do.
Another thing that you can do is every town has some kind of a Democratic club.
Yeah.
Go join because they have actions that you can do.
And it's great because, you know, you might make a new
people.
Friend.
Yeah. You get to meet new people who think like you and who want the same things you do and who are willing to work towards those goals. When I lived in Arizona, I lived in right smack dab in the middle near Sedona. And I was with Democrats of the Verde Valley, and I was very active with them. And that was back when Howard Dean was running. I knocked on doors. I got chased out of somebody's yard. He wielded a shotgun and chased me, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, we did phone banking. We did all sorts of things. And elections are held every single year. You've got mayoral elections. You have city council elections.
Yeah.
You have all governors. So you have all these different things that you can work on to further a progressive agenda. So that's something else. And it doesn't cost you any money. It just costs you some time, but you can also have some fun.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's important to focus on some of the positive things that can be done, because there's so many scary things that we're going to be up against. What kind of warms my heart is seeing some of the outspoken celebrities, whether it's Meryl Streep or Madonna or whoever, like, oh my God, and Alec Baldwin. I just love Alec Baldwin. I love how he's picking on Trump and successful because, you know, Trump just hates it so much. Those are the kinds of things. I mean, we're going to have to endure whatever, I don't know, you know, God knows what the Republicans do, what Trump is able to do. But I think we can take some kind of comfort in knowing that the majority of people in this country don't want this, and somehow we can overcome. Hopefully. I'm hoping we can. The only way we can, though, is waking up and participating. And I urge and encourage everybody out there who has friends or family members who you know you have one who says, oh, I don't pay attention to politics. Well, start. Find a way to engage them. Bring them in. Those are the people who didn't vote. Those are the people who aren't paying attention. We need those people now. Point out, you know, whether it's using fear. Because fear, you know, I know people don't like the idea that fear motivates people, but it does. When you're uncomfortable, that's when you're moved to action. Usually, and I'll give you an example. Back in 2014, when I was trying to raise money for the We Are Woman rally, it was like pulling teeth. It was so difficult. And at the time, we had, you know, Obama as president. And yes, we were fighting a Republican Congress that was... at the time, not even, you know, we hadn't even suffered through the 2014 midterms at that point. It was right before the midterms. It was before we had a total Republican control in Congress, or majority, I should say. But it wasn't something that it was really not on anybody's radar. Our focus was the Equal Rights Amendment, which I'm going to get to in 1 second. But people just weren't paying attention. Well, now people are going to pay attention. And for instance, this Women's March, I heard, has raised almost $1 million. You know, I could barely get, I don't know exactly how much we raised when all was said and done, but I can tell you right now, it wasn't almost $1 million. So you strike when people are frightened, and you give them solutions.
Well, not just when they're frightened, but angry. I think there's going to be a lot of angry women in Washington on the 21st. And there's going to be a lot of angry men who support those angry women.
Yes.
And we're going to go show just how PO'd we are at the state of things.
Yeah, so I'm going to get to some questions, because I always ask people to ask questions. And, you know, boy, they're so vocal on every other fucking comment or post I have. But I ask them for a question and it's like they don't. Oh, I don't know. I do. So, one of these days, you guys are going to ask me questions. So, I will. Somebody named J Man asked, "Do you think the push to ratify the ERA will be halted due to the Republican supermajority? What do you think is an effective strategy to keep it alive?" So, what I would like to say about that is, right now there are, well, to give you the short history, 38 states need to ratify something before it becomes enshrined into the Constitution. 35 states ratified it back in the 70s. There was a halt on it because of Phyllis Schlafly and the Stop ERA campaign. Then eventually Congress, nothing happened. No more states ratified, although we only needed 3 more. So then Congress imposed a deadline, and then that deadline expired. I believe it was in 82 or 83.
It was 82, I think, from what I remember.
So so there we are. We're sitting on this amendment that has this expired deadline. So there's something called the three-state strategy, which would require Congress to lift that expired deadline. But in the meantime, what's happening with ERA activists out in the world is, in two states particularly, one is Democrat. We've got Illinois, a Democratic state, and then we've got Virginia, which is a purple state. Both those states are coming close to ratification. So if we can get those states, then we'd only need one more. And then the focus would be on one other state, would be getting Congress to remove it. Do I think this Republican Congress will? Absolutely not. But that's not the point. The point is,
we can change that in 2 years.
Exactly. We can get a Democratic Congress in there, or maybe not a majority, but we can get enough in. And then on top of it, what I want to try to accomplish with some of my connections, is getting some bigger organizations like NOW and Feminist Majority to start an education campaign on the ERA. I have certainly collected and made several memes that I'm going to start reposting again this year, because I did see a positive effect when they were posted. People were kind of quoting those memes back to me. Because the truth is, people don't know that the ERA was never ratified, and they don't know how it would benefit not just women, but everyone and the economy. So that's the answer. I think the effective strategy is education and letting people understand that, or making people understand that, you know, we don't have an equal rights amendment in our constitution, and that
and women are not considered equal under the law.
And there's
in
a whole
this country.
Book called Equal Means Equal, and plus a documentary by the same name on iTunes. But you can go on Amazon and purchase the book Equal Means Equal, and it's all explained.
That's Jessica Neuwirth's
yes.
book. Yes.
And she cites all these different court cases in which none of the existing amendments or anything in place helped when particularly women were discriminated against, whether it
there's always a loophole in the law.
Yeah, there's a loophole, or there's some kind of a, oh, well, this doesn't matter because A, B, or C. So, and it's not just about money, or it's not just about equal pay. It's also about, you know, pregnancy discrimination, violence against women. There's a whole variety of issues that are affected, and that would be, the ERA would just be the end. It would end all of it. There would be no more argument about it. No lawyer in court could, you know, bring up some loophole. It would just be a done deal. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then
it would not end people trying to discriminate against women, but it would make it a federal crime to discriminate
right.
against women because they're women.
Yeah. And then eventually, there's also the whole idea that single fathers have to fight even harder. There's a gentleman on my Facebook page who is going through this right now, and he's always talking about the ERA because he recognizes that the courts are not treating him fairly because he's the father. And I don't know his story in detail. I do see his frustration, and I can't speak to the fact that he's this great father or horrible father or whatever it is. I don't know him, but I do know from what I see that he feels that he's getting the shaft because he's a man. And that's wrong. I think that when it comes to parenting and custody and all of that, it should be about the parent who is the most capable, not based on gender.
Absolutely.
So, you know, men benefit from the Equal Rights Amendment in many ways, and it's not just a woman's thing. It's not just about women's rights. It's about discrimination based on gender, period.
Absolutely.
Although women, of course, are discriminated more than men are. And the last comment that I'm going to take here, and then we're going to move on to End Another Thing segment, is, and I kind of already addressed this, but I'll ask this to you. Megan wants to know, can you talk about treason and what it takes to impeach a president or pre-impeach? Or she wrote, pre-impeach a POTUS. let's kind of go back to this one more time. What do you think it's going to take? Or do you think he's ever going to be brought up on charges of treason? Or do you think that he's going to be impeached? And if he is impeached, do you think the Republicans will get together and vote him out?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, in a sane world, yes. But we've entered an upside down alternate reality that, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I do believe that, I think he's got, I really do believe that he has ties that we don't know about to Russia. And when you are the president of the United States and they've got you by the short hairs, which they seem to do.
Yeah.
And as Hillary called him, Putin's puppet, Putin makes him dance. Is that treason? I would say so.
Yeah, me too.
I would say so. But, you know, again.
And you know what the punishment for treason is?
Oh, my goodness.
It's murder.
Yes. Stand him up and shoot him. But, you know, I mean, I'm not advocating that.
Me neither.
But I am advocating that, you know, we keep a close eye, and I'm hoping.
But it would be awesome if he would just go and rot in jail for the rest of his pathetic life.
To me, that is the best. I'm against the death penalty. And I think that anybody that has done something horrible, I wish them a very long, 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 long life, and I will gladly pay my taxes because it's less than having...
And the orange fuckface can wear an orange suit.
That's right. So, you know, yeah, to match his skin. He's just...
I usually say I'm not bitter, but I'm a little bitter when it comes to the orange fuckface.
Yeah, I know, me too. And we're not alone. But yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know what this Republican Congress will do because I look at them and... The Republicans have been taken over by the worst of their party.
Yeah.
They just have. And it's been that kind of a process. So I can't answer that question.
All right. Well, now we're going to move on into the end another thing segment. And so that's for where I'm, you know, you have to support me with $5 a month if you want to hear it. And we're going to, my mom and I are going to carry on our conversation, and we're going to talk about sex. Because we wrote a book together called The Virgin Diaries about first-time sex, so we're gonna have a little bit of fun talking about that. So maybe you're going to join us. But if not, this was the first free show of the year. Thanks for listening. Stay around for And Another Thing. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.